desperation, perhaps, or maybe just in praise and thanks. Jesus. Sometimes it just catches you, right? It just flows through you. You just experience something that you weren't expecting, and God directs you to Him, and you can hardly imagine it's possible, but He's just met you. We're going to do a theme. We're going to kick off a theme called Imagine. As we kick off that theme, that's a great one for me. I have no problem imagining. As a matter of fact, to my fault, I can imagine. This morning, as we look at that, we're going to look a little bit at Imagine. We're going to take a look at the story that was read by Barb for us. And hopefully, as we read Luke's story, it'll inspire us. And we're also going to look at some other scriptures that hopefully will center us to be able to imagine, because I believe imagine is a gift God has given to us, to imagine, to have an imagination. And often when we think of imaginations, we think of children. And I know, as if you were watching, I could get a kind of a view of some of the children as they're talking about the 12 days of Christmas and then singing about the other pipers piping. And I could just see, as they're saying that, their imagination is growing, right? They're thinking about what these pipers might look like, and as they're playing, and as we talk about things that maybe aren't concrete and aren't really clear, they kind of send our mind into another level of thinking of something differently. And in my case, it would do that, but then I get distracted by something else, and I would move, and my imagination would go in all sorts of different directions. And that's the problem with my imagination. Any of you grow up in school with a real vivid imagination and lots of windows in your classroom and can't focus on anything that's happening? That's me. I grew up in Thunder Bay, Ontario, when I was in my sort of elementary and middle school years. Halfway through that, we moved to Stony Creek, Ontario. And so I had this school that I went to in my elementary years called Agnew H. Johnson. And Agnew H. Johnson kind of took me through, I believe it was grade 2 to 6. As I went through that, I was in my prime of imagining. And I can remember so many things that I would do that people, you know what, we're all like that, I think, when we're young. In Thunder Bay, of course, we get snow. Although I don't know if they have it this year. But anyhow, we get snow back then, and lots of it. And I used to take piano lessons. Anybody take piano lessons here? Oh, why don't you tell your... No, I'm saying, okay. We don't want to get into the horror of it all, but some of you look like you're still smiling, so that's good. I took piano lessons, and as I went to piano lessons, the last thing I was thinking about was piano, or what I needed to know. Really what I was thinking about, and we used to walk to our piano lessons. Any of you walk to your piano lessons? Okay, there we go. So I used to walk. My kids got a ride for me every time because otherwise they wouldn't go. But as I was going, I would walk. And as I was walking, I had this nice long path I would go on. And it was sort of a road, but it had so much snow on it, you wouldn't know that. And beautiful high banks. And all of a sudden, my piano bag became a backpack. And something else I was holding, I don't know what it was, maybe just a stick, became a gun. And I was walking down the streets. And I was blowing everybody, I know this is horrible, but I was blowing everybody up. And I was diving into the snowbanks, protected and hiding. And thank God I could just make it to piano lessons, but I barely did. I'd get there, and then I had no idea what I was doing, and I probably left my bag in the snowbank, and I didn't know where it was. So it was that kind of thing for me. My imagination just went. It was always going. Right? It was always going, and it still does today. And that's part of my problem. I get very distracted, easily distracted. But it's also a great gift. Because God breaks into our world, and He can allow us to see something completely different that we never even thought we could imagine. And it opens up worlds that we never thought were even there, that could be there. Okay, I'm not, what's her name with the umbrella? Mary Poppins. We're not going there this morning, but pretty close to it. Our imagination is a beautiful thing. But we know also that our imagination can go deep and dark, right? And so we can get caught up in the wrong things. For example, I was even just this morning driving in, so you're getting some real-time talk here. I was driving in and I thought, oh, as I'm driving in, I need some inspiration. So I think I'll turn on Praise 106.5 and they'll often have a little story or a blurb they'll say, or they'll sing a song. So I was listening to it, or so I thought. And then this song was on, and I just kind of started singing along. I said, this is my life, this is my life, this is my life, this is my life. Does anybody know this song? This is my life, my life. Well, all of a sudden I realized, oh, that's the Dark Side of the Moon, and that's April Wine. And whoops, that's not Jesus. And I flicked it to another channel, and I realized, that's the one. I was actually on the wrong station. I was thinking, how could they be playing that on Praise 106.5? That's crazy. And my imagination's going, of course, you know, trying to figure this out. But you know, it's interesting. In our life, we can be like that too. We could be going along in life, and we don't realize the effect of what the world is having on us, the way that we're being dragged down. And all of a sudden, we're actually singing to the tune. We're walking in the beat, in the melody of it. But interestingly enough, Jesus comes and he meets us. And he says, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that tune. That's not really the tune. Oh, if you like that song, sorry. But anyhow, there's something wrong with that tune. That's actually taking you the wrong way. Come on back. I want to give you something better. So I'm going to read some better for you. I always lose my spot if I don't do that. So now that I'm holding a mic, a little trickier for me. I can imagine myself doing this and thinking all sorts of good things. All right, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Philippians 4:8. You all will know this, I'm sure, but I'm going to read it for you. Philippians 4:8. You can have fun with me on this. Paul writes, oh, I love this book. You know, I spoke on it not that long ago. Anyhow, Philippians 4:8. It's such an awesome book or letter written. And Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's quite clear in the scriptures, and some of you are saying, oh, geez, I hate that verse. I can remember my parents always saying that. Or I can remember somebody saying, oh, just think about the good things, think about the good, you know, do the good things, do the good things. And it seems so altruistic and sort of not even possible. Well, let's use our imagination. Maybe it is possible. Can you journey with me a little bit here? That's what imagination is all about, by the way. And that's what maybe a holy imagination might look like. When you read a scripture, rather than getting frustrated and angry with the fact that that's just a bunch of garbage and I can't do that, that's not even possible, that's just another world, that is Mary Poppins. No, you know, I can't do that. Well, let's use our imagination and let's allow God to grab a hold of it and let's allow him to show us how it might even be possible. What might it look like? How would it change our lives? How would we be different? Okay. Let's go to Philippians 1:6. And this is a good passage also. It's kind of cool. It says, being confident of this, talking about confidence, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. God's not finished. And I think all of us kind of know that, right? Did you get a cue on that this morning? It's not quite done, obviously. I can see that. Well, yeah, but in our imagination, God can show us what that might look like possibly. And maybe it would be distorted by everything that we've heard, by some of the songs that we're listening to that aren't quite right, but God can bring it back in. He can bring it back in. But we have to allow our imagination to be used as we look at the scriptures. And let God grab a hold of that imagination and actually transform it. Because actually the imagination is simply our mind, isn't it? It's our mind. And so let's turn to another scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it's kind of talking about arguments. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And guess what? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Imagine if we could do that. I mean, that's almost paranoia, isn't it? I'm just going to walk around and worry about everything I'm saying. That's not what Paul's saying here. That is not what he's saying. But he is saying that it's possible for us to have a mind that resembles Christ, that is like Christ, which then would take our imaginations and our dreams and our thoughts and redeem them and make them new and transform them and give them a hope for the future, rather than feel like there is no hope. God's given you a gift. It's your imagination. It's your ability to think beyond where you are and to look towards something that could be completely different, even though you may be in the worst case scenario right now. God has hope for you. He's made us that way. It's a gift he's given to us. Let's look at one more here. And this is another one of my favorites. I probably have said it a few times to you, but is Romans 12. If I can find Romans, it should be an easy one, right? Right after the Acts, there we go. Romans 12. Okay. Now, in Romans 12, we're going to go into our passage in just a moment, but in Romans 12, it kind of gives us a bit of a formula in a way that we can sort of grasp onto who God's made us and the mind that he's given to us, because it's a beautiful mind. We have beautiful minds created by God, and they sometimes betray us, but that's not God's plan that they would betray us. It's his plan to make them new and ultimately to completely heal them when we enter into his glory, into heaven, which we dream about so much and love so much, and songs are written about it. And I could only imagine many other songs like that who just talk about heaven and what it might be like. But in Paul says in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy for us, we have to imagine that he has mercy. That even is hard, right? Just imagine that someone, the creator of all things, has mercy on me. In view of that mercy, we're supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We're actually called to do something, to make a decision, so that we can bring within us this change. So we offer it our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. I don't know why it's holy and pleasing to God, but in my imagination, I can just assume he really loves me a lot. And he created me to be his son, created you to be his son or daughter. And so when we come to him and we actually lay it before him and offer it to him in sacrifice, it's pleasing. And so in my imagination, it just makes me alive. It gives me some hope. It's not denial of where I live and what I'm going through. It can't be that, right? But it's a realization that something new can happen, that there's hope, that this God who created all things, he's really excited about the fact that I just laid it down for him. And that I'm willing to sacrifice myself. And living sacrifice just means everything I'm living for. Right? You may be thinking in your mind, I don't know what your imagination does, but just laying your body out, just like, oh, I give it. Well, that's not it. If it's a living sacrifice, it's everything we're living for. And you know what you're living for, right? It's the things you're thinking about right now. And it's the plans you've made for 2020. And I'm not saying they're bad plans, but it's those things. Can you be the living sacrifice? And then God takes and he says, this is holy and pleasing to me. He says, this is our true act or form of worship to God. This is really what it is. We were here singing this morning and Andrea was leading us and that was good. And it was helping our imaginations a bit. It was helping our hearts. It was helping our minds. But there's more to it than that, right? It's actually making a decision and practically giving things up for him. It's surrendering, right? It's laying ourselves before him. And this will help our mind. This will help our imagination. It may not seem right to you because we try to protect everything we have. This is my life. This is my life. This is my life. It's my life. And we don't even know we're saying it, but we are. Says not to conform anymore to the pattern of this world. Let that melody that's droning over and over in our mind be changed by God. Don't be conformed by that pattern anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your dreams, your aspirations, your imagination, your thoughts, the very things that decide what you're going to do, right? Where you're going to go, what you're going to wear. Who you're going to hang out with, all of that stuff. Then it says you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. See, we have to sing songs like Andrea was leading us in to help our imagination just be renewed and our hope be renewed, our minds be made new. And we need to sing hymns now and then, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Right? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing those songs not just for the sake of sounding good and sort of making ourselves join together and enjoying it. We actually do it to renew our minds too. Because there's something that happens as we sing and as we act and as we move. God can inspire us and move us as his Holy Spirit moves. The world has ways of doing this too, and it's really amazing to watch it, how they can sing certain songs and be in unity and inspire one another and move forward. But how much more if you have the creator of the earth, the Holy Spirit, moving within us and transforming us, and He igniting us and drawing us forward. How much more should we be able to experience hope and renewed faith in God's faithfulness and be inspired to move in the ways that He's called us to and to think on thoughts that are good and pure and holy, not just because we're told to, but actually, wait a minute, it's because I want to. And it flows out of us. Because if you're just trying, you missed the point here. Get back on the altar and just give it to Him. And He changes you. He makes it new. I don't know if you noticed in my little illustration as I was singing, but I was singing the song, and I could have very easily just kept singing it, but I believe God just said, wait a minute. That's not it. God will come in as we sort of turn the right or the left in the wrong way and get off the straight path, and He will give us a chance to come back on it. It's up to us what to do with it, but He'll give us a chance. All right, let's flip to the story. So we should do the passage before we go, but as we do that, can I just pray before we dive into this part of the message, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank You so much for Your word and for Your desire to make our minds new, to transform us, and to use our imagination in a positive way. I long for that. God, I long that I want to be glorifying You by being Christ-centered, by Spirit-empowered, and I want to make Your name known among us, around us, and beyond us. And so I pray that we would be inspired by Your word. You would draw on our imagination and show us something new. Allow us to dream and to think beyond what we may already think. Allow us to be able to not be in denial, but to see within our pain the fact that You are a God that is very faithful and in control of all things. And so we lay it before You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Two messages in one. Okay, I'm almost done here. So he called His disciples, and this was the first one. It says Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And, of course, that's just Galilee. See, Galilee, it just happened to be a few names they called this place. So He did a lot of action around Galilee here. And the people were crowding around Him and listening to the word of God. He had just done some amazing things. So He cast a demon out, did some healing, and He was at His hometown and kind of disturbed those people. And they were going to push Him over a cliff, but He just walked away because He's God. And He had a plan, and His plan was to continue to preach the gospel to all peoples. And so away He went. So anyhow, here he is in Galilee. He saw at the water's edge two boats, and he left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. And of course, He knew who they were, right? If you look at the passages before, Jesus heals many Simons in that story. So anyhow, he knows he's with Simon, and he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then He sat down and He taught the people from the boat. Good plan, right? What a great imagination. He moved out and He just got in a spot where He could speak to people and people could see Him from a distance. They could still hear Him and they could be safer. He could be safer. And He's with Simon. And Simon's listening to Him. Simon's already seen what He's done to, let's see, was it His mother? Simon's mother-in-law. He healed her. And He's heard about the things He's done about casting out demons. He saw many other healings. And He watched this crowd come and crowd around Him. And so here he is watching now as Jesus speaks. And he's already really curious because Jesus has already broken into the rhythm of his life. The music that's playing in his mind has already been challenged. And he's realizing that there's a new song, there's a new tune that he needs to really be walking with, a new rhythm that he needs to be walking with. And so here he is right by Jesus. And you are right by Jesus. You know that? You are. He's speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So let's sit in the boat too. And we sit in the boat. I know I'm challenging you to use your imagination here. Let's do this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And you've heard this story before. It's kind of funny because who is this Jesus? Well, he's a teacher. He's a rabbi. They're starting to see that. He was the son of Joseph, possibly a carpenter. He is not a fisherman. So that we've confirmed that they don't see him ever as a fisherman. And yet he has some instructions for Simon. We know that Simon and his buddies have been working hard, really hard, to get fish, and they've got nothing. They're frustrated. They're tired. But Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because Jesus said so, Simon's going to let down the nets." Why did he want to do it because Jesus said so? Well, because he already saw what Jesus was doing. We have already seen what Jesus is doing. It's just that now we're walking to another rhythm. We're hearing another song. Maybe some of you aren't. Maybe you're right in tune with it, and you're excited, and you're moving along with what Jesus has done. And he's saying, well, let down your net, even though you haven't done anything well for a long time with that net. He says, let it down. You're like, okay, Jesus, I'm letting it down because you said I should, because you told me to. I don't know what that might look like to you. What types of things he might be saying to you that seem ridiculous to do, but if he's saying it to you, do it. Let down the net and see what he has, just like Simon Peter, because he's flipping back and he's thinking about his mother-in-law. He's thinking about all the people that got healed. He's thinking about the demon that was cast out. He realizes he's in the presence of someone who has greater power than he can understand, and only his imagination can help him sort of wonder what that might look like. I should say one thing right here. It is possible sometimes that we could lose the ability to imagine, maybe. And I wonder what does that. I know that my hardest moments when I can't even picture the possibility of Jesus taking that net that I dropped down and making it full, it's generally when I'm pretty anxious, I'm pretty busy, I'm a little bit overwhelmed, and my imagination just seeps away. And I have a pretty good imagination, but it goes. And I require God to meet me and to come in and to sing a new song. And he does. And let me tell you, it's in surprising ways. You guys, you don't have to be, I want you here every Sunday, but that's really not where Jesus might be singing that melody to you. It could be in a completely different spot, because here's Peter out working hard, right? He's trying to get these fish because he's taking care of his livelihood, and they're just cleaning their nets. They're just really tired. They're not happy. They're a little bit overwhelmed because they should have caught something. They did all the right things, but it didn't work out. And now Jesus is giving them some instruction that doesn't make sense. For they're going to choose to do it. But it was not when he was sitting in the synagogue that this happened, or when he was having his quiet time on the mountain, or when he had chosen to go and listen to Jesus. It actually just happened. Jesus met him as he was singing the wrong tune, and he reminded him of something completely new. And it'd do the same for you if you're out at school, you're writing an exam, you're at a movie, in a theater, maybe the movie's horrible, and yet God speaks to you through it. Let him speak to you through it. He wants to speak in those moments. He surprises us, and then he draws us back and allows us to sing a new song. And so Simon said, Master, we've worked hard, but we're going to let him down. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in from the other boat to come out and help them. And they came and filled their boats so full that they began to sink. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Come now. You will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and they followed him. That's what we need to do. That is the steps we need to take. In our wildest imagination, we will never dream how much God can do and wants to do. But we need to surrender it. And we need to walk before him and allow him now to guide us and to lead us. Simon and his buddies were amazed. They were overwhelmed. Their imagination got sparked and perked so much that they thought, there is something here. There is something new. So it's my prayer that as we read through and as we look at this story, that your imagination, your heart, your mind will be changed, will be transformed, and the stuff that's pulling you down, that is keeping you from even expecting anything good to happen, will be released and set free. And that the lies that are going to be piling down at us all the time, which they do, we will be protected from them. Imagine a God that has power over all things. Imagine a God that we can come and pray for healing, and He longs to heal us. Imagine a God that wants to set us free from the things that are binding us in our mind, from the traps that we've always fallen into for years and years and years, who wants to come in and wants to cast it away because He has power over all things. Imagine that God that can do more than we ever dreamed or imagined. More than we ever dreamed or imagined. That's the God we're talking about. As we go on this theme of imagine, we're going to walk down that road. And we're going to try to allow God to wake up our imagination and to redeem it and to make it new. And to actually, as Jesus was doing here, not just casting a net, but casting a vision for something brand new, right? He wants to open our minds to see something new. To have a vision of something that He wants to do. And I'm not necessarily talking about this church growing and becoming big. I'm talking about what He wants to do in our lives. What He wants to do for you. To make you new. And then what you can do for the people around you as He sends us out to make a difference. These guys left everything. They left their work and everything. But God's calling us to leave everything, to say we're going to leave everything. But He very much, for the most part, works through where we are. And the jobs that we're doing. He just changes our heart and our mind and how we do it. It becomes completely different. And we have a different perspective on life. So let's allow God to take our hearts, our minds, and let's allow Him to transform them. Let's allow Him to give us something different. Please, God, open up our minds. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for Your word that is so simple, very, very simple. I want to thank You for the fact that when we come and we lay things down before You, that You take it and You transform it. You're pleased with us. You're excited with us. You're happy with us. I want to thank You that You were able to complete the work that You've started. Boy, I can only dream that that's possible. I want to thank You that You can take captive things in our mind and You can toss them away. You can take hold of strongholds and just decimate them and move them away. God, we proclaim the year of Your glory, that Your Holy Spirit will be free to move in our hearts and our minds, that we would be willing to step out, we'd be willing to find what You have for us. So as we look at different passages and speak about different things that would allow us to dream and to think about what You have for us, I pray that You would set us free and that You would keep us grounded in Your word and Your truth, but allow us to dream about what that would look like in the future. In our lives and in the lives of people around us, in the lives of people that are moving in next door. Father, we give it to You and thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Fill us anew, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.